Welcome to the Wake Up Podcast. I am so excited that you're here. Listen, these podcasts are best listened to in the morning because we are waking up not only our bodies from sleeping, but we're waking up our minds, we're waking up our focus, we're waking up our calling, and we are following the breadcrumbs that God has left for us throughout the day over our life to tell us exactly what to do next. So stop saying that you don't know what to do. Stop feeling overwhelmed. Stop living in the valley and start walking into your calling. So I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm so happy you're here. So this is a mini episode that I'm recording, and it's on the topic of marriage. My husband and I help run the marriage ministry within our church, and it has been an area of our lives that we're very passionate about, and we're very passionate about helping other people because we almost got divorced a few years ago. Now, my parents are together. His parents are together. We got pregnant only a few months into knowing each other with our twins. And we had a really rocky relationship. We ended up breaking up, honestly, probably 50 times. Very toxic, both cheating on each other, both didn't know our identity. We were young. I was only 19. He was 21. So it was hard. We had to figure out a lot of things together. And in any relationship, there's struggles. And in any new relationship, you're learning each other and you're trying to figure out life. And it's also hard when you're younger because you're trying to figure out how to be an adult and what you want your life to become and how you want it to be. So it's really hard. And we had to combat through a lot. And we made it out on the other end and we made it out stronger. And now I can look back and I'm so grateful for every single trial, all the turmoil, all the fighting, everything we went through, because that is what has made us stronger today. And I very rarely come across someone who would say that they have a thriving marriage where they feel connected to their spouse. They feel head over heels in love with them. They feel like they're a team, like they're their person. It's very rare. And the statistics show that over 50% of people are getting divorced. And truly, I see that if the enemy can separate the family unit, he can really have his way with anyone. And when the family unit gets separated, that's when all of the nastiness comes in and the hardships. And I've talked to a lot of people that have had divorces, and they say that if they could go back and do it again, they wouldn't do it because of all the pain that is caused in their family. Now, there are a few people that I know that got divorced and they're very grateful for it. And I want to just tell you that this episode isn't an episode to condemn you if you have been divorced, because most people have been. But this is a message to tell you that you are not alone, that marriage is hard, and you do have the ability to have the thriving marriage that you want, where you're head over heels in love. Actually had someone the other day tell me, they're like, I wonder if people ever even make love. Like, you know, like, is that even a thing? Are people like making passionate love? And the answer is yes. Like, it really is. And there's this big misconception with that, but I want to talk all things. I want to talk things on sex. I want to talk things on being unequally yoked. I want to talk things about parenting together, separately. I just want to talk about a lot. So that's why I've come up with these little mini sessions, mini episodes that we can talk and just really just connect. I want you to know that there is a way to have this relationship that you've always wanted. And in this episode, we are going to talk about being unequally yoked with your spouse. Now, scripture says that you should not be unequally yoked. Unequally yoked just means you have two people that have different beliefs. A yoke is the tool that they would use to connect the oxen together so that they're walking the same when they pull the plow. And if one is stronger, it forces the other one to keep up. And it takes that weight of the load off of the weaker one who can't hold it. So we're told to be yoked with God, walking side by side. If you kind of think of this harness, you know, we're walking side by side in this harness with God. We're staying next to him. We're abiding in him. We're constantly connected to him. So we're together. So being unequally yoked means that you're not together in this yoke and one of you is pulling a stronger load. And if you are unequally yoked with your spouse and one of you is a believer, I'm assuming it's you since you're listening to this. If you're a believer and your husband is not, or maybe he's just not on the level that you're at spiritually, this is something I hear all the time, that I want you to know that you don't have to get divorced, okay? That's the first thing. The Bible does say that there are two reasons to get divorced. One is adultery, which I wouldn't say that if adultery happened in your marriage that you should immediately separate. I've had adultery in mine. And honestly, when I talk to people that are married, almost everyone has had some sort of lust issue or full-on adultery or emotional connection with someone. It's easy to. You are working outside of the home, you're connected to other people, and the devil is just using that in any way. And especially if your marriage is struggling, of course, you're going to look for that in other areas. But it does say that you can get divorced. God obviously hates all divorce, but he says that, you know, if there is adultery, then you can divorce, but just know that there will be trouble when you do that. And the other reason that you can divorce is if you have a non-believing spouse who wants to leave. So just so you know, just a little background information. And then there's also some things in the Bible. It doesn't just come out and say it. You won't find a scripture that says if you're in an abusive situation, you can get divorced. However, you can interpret the scriptures, and you know, that's a really long podcast. Now, we've talked about that in our marriage group a lot with our pastors, but if there's some sort of abuse, we highly recommend that you separate yourself, not get divorced, but separate yourself, get into a different house, stay with someone, you know, that then that gets a little bit different, but God definitely doesn't want you to stay in a situation where you're being abused. Now the scripture says about being unequally yoked in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? And, there's a lot of other scriptures out there that talk about, avoiding people who are denying God's power. And because the covenant that you make with God when you get married, and if you are getting married in front of God and you're inviting God into your entire marriage, it's different than just getting your friend to be credentialed and wedge you really quickly. Now, a lot of people do that, and you know, they don't really bring God into their ceremony, especially if they're not believers. Like, let's say you both got married and neither of you were believers at the time. You might have just had like a pretty secular wedding where, you know, you said the typical vows, the traditional vows that they have, and you kind of just moved on. But you might have had a wedding where you were in a church and you invited God into that wedding, and then you immediately left him and you didn't bring him on the honeymoon with you. And you were like, okay, God, we got it from here. But the more you learn about marriage and the more you see that this marriage that you have and the reason why God created Eve is because Adam needed a helper. And when you have a thriving marriage and it's braided together with you, your spouse, and God in this threefold cord, it's really hard to be broken. And if you think of a triangle, you think of God at the top of the triangle, and then you on the one side and your spouse on the other. And the closer you guys get to God, intimately, privately on your own, the closer you get to God in your relationship, the closer you move together. And when you understand how God created marriage and how the wife is supposed to respect the husband and the husband is supposed to love the wife as he loves the church, and you see the way that things have been placed for a reason, for instance, you have a hierarchy that's been placed and you have God and then you have Jesus underneath God, and then you have the husband underneath Jesus, and the wife is underneath the husband, and then the children are underneath the wife. And if you think of this all as an umbrella, as Tony Evans says in his study, Kingdom Marriages, that we're piloting right now to hopefully launch publicly to our church in the fall. But in this, he talks about this concept of this umbrella. And if it goes God, Jesus, husband, wife, kids, it's all in unison and everything is flowing and nobody is getting wet. Okay. But if the husband moves out from under the umbrella, meaning that he is not obeying Jesus and God, he's not linking his life, he's not yoking with them, it really puts this weird relationship on you as the mom or as the wife. And if you have children, you know, with your kids underneath you, because your husband moved out from under the umbrella and you naturally are underneath him. Now, I'm not saying you're below him, you know, don't get mad. We're not talking that. You still matter just as much as he does. But when you're talking about the head of the household and the man in the family, they have a lot of responsibility and they will have to answer to Christ one day for how they led their families. But a lot of the women that I talk to say, well, Taryn, what am I supposed to do? How can my husband be the head of our households when he won't even go to church? When he won't even pray, when he doesn't read his Bible, where, you know, he is totally opposite of me, and it makes things really hard. And so that's what's inspired me to do this episode, because I've had so many people lately come to me and tell me this, and I have good advice for them. And so I'm like, I need to do an episode so I can give more advice to more people. So if you're unequally yoked, the reason why this scripture is here is to tell you, do not get married to someone who's not a believer. But if it's like, oh, too late, like already did that, well, then there's hope for you. So if you're single and you're listening to this, I cannot tell you enough how important it is to be equally yoked, to find someone who is a believer. Now, God forbid anything were to happen to my husband, I would be like, presenting a list to men, like, okay, make sure that you're all of these things before I even go on a date with you. You know, like, I want it, like, tell me your testimony. What church are you a member at? Tell me about your devotional life with Jesus. Tell me about what God has been telling you lately. You know, show me where you're serving. Show me, because if you're going to be in my household, I want you leading me. Because I want someone to make me better. I want someone to challenge me in my relationship with Christ, to bring me forward to that. I don't want someone who's going to pull me away and try to get me back to the party scene and go backwards in my life. I want someone who's going to elevate me and lift me up. And now if you're single, a lot of my single friends feel like there's no one out there and they're never going to find anyone. And I'm all alone. And let me just tell you, being single is such a blessing and it is so amazing because it's time with just you and the Lord. You can work on your identity and your purpose, and you don't have anything else distracting you. So when you're single, that is the only time that you're going to be able to really pour in all of your attention and passion and time and energy into yourself. You need to be so rock solid on your identity. You need to understand your purpose, what you're here for, what you were created to be. You really need to look at yourself the way that God looks at you when he created you in his own image. So if you're insecure and you have poor confidence and you're a people pleaser and you have poor boundaries and you're recovering from trauma and like, sister, I'm telling you, it's good that you don't have a man right now because you need to work on yourself. You need to work on you. So also just remember that God wants you to be equally yoked. And you might not be with someone yet because you're not ready to be with them yet. That God has someone in store for you, but that man that he has in store for you isn't going to be interested in you the way that you are right now. The habits you're doing, the sin that you're doing on the weekends, the way your mind is working, the way you're thinking, you need to be ready. So just think of this time as a preparation where you are getting ready and God does have someone for you, and continue praying without ceasing that God continues to change you and grow you. Or maybe the spouse that God has for you isn't ready yet, and we're waiting because he's not ready and he will be ready and you don't want him yet. And if you met him right now, you wouldn't be interested, but God's working on his heart and he's working on him. So just be patient and pray. And I know patience is really hard. Trust me, I get it. Patience is very hard. But if you're impatient, you're basically telling God, like, hurry up. I don't trust your plan. I have a better plan. And we're always in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. He's never trying to catch up. He's never trying to be quicker. He never is. We're the ones that are in a hurry. And that's why we're so anxious. And that's why we're depressed. And that's why we're coping and self-medicating. And we're in a hurry. You just need to, like, take a deep breath and just realize that God has a plan. And I promise you, it is way better than the plan that you ever could think of. Now, if you are married to somebody and you find yourself unequally yoked, and I'm going to be really transparent here. So when I met my husband, he was raised Catholic, which is what I was raised. And it was just go to church a couple times a year. And that's pretty much it. It's more like we both more practice the religion side of it, like the rituals and just do this because we say so. And then if you know my story, when I became a young teenager is when I was presented the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. And then things started to change. So when I met my husband, I had a relationship with Jesus. He did not. I wasn't a really serious practicing Christian. I just said, I loved Jesus. I believed in him, but I still, you know, went on my merry way. You probably wouldn't know I was a Christian based on how I was living. And when we got together, he was anti-church. Nope, not coming to church. So one of my tips that I can tell you is you need to get yourself right with God and don't worry about your husband. So you need to get your butt to church every Sunday. You need to go to a Bible study. You need to get connected with the community and the people in the church. Don't worry about him. He is going to see the change in you, and then he will follow. So you're not going to nag. You're not going to make him feel bad. Now, this is the really hard part, okay? It's hard to not have an attitude like, oh, are you coming to church? Oh yeah, figured you would sleep in, figured you had other plans, figured you'd go golfing, figured you were going to go hang out with your friends, figured you're going to play your game, figured you're going to watch a movie. You know, like it's easy for us to get annoyed. And especially when you have kids, because you want your husband to be this example role model for your children. You guys, I went to church for 5 years, every single Sunday without my husband. And every Sunday I would ask him, do you want to come to church? And he'd say, no, thanks. I have to work in the house. I have a side job. I have this, I have that. I have to work on bills. I have to talk to this person. Everything. There was always an excuse. But every single Sunday for 5 years, I went and I brought my boys with me. And then when I had Sophia, my daughter, I brought her with me and we went every single Sunday. So my biggest tip as a mom is if you have children, you need to be going to church every single Sunday and do it for them, because they need to be in that church. They need to be raised up in that church, because I promise you, when they become preteens, you're going to want more people to help you. You're going to want leaders and people in their lives that already know them and are comfortable with them, and your kids are comfortable with the leaders, and to be able to say, hey, can you help me with this? Can you take my kid out for lunch, and can you talk to them about this? Can you shoot them a text? Can you just try to encourage them? Can you pray for them? Can you give me advice? Can you help me? I have leaned on the leaders in my church so much, and that's why I love my church. And if you're local to me, I go to The Rock in Fairhaven, and I love that church because it's their kid program is amazing. So if you don't have a home church, and you're like, Taryn, I know I need to get to church. And I know, and I keep wanting to go, but something always comes up. You need to pray and ask where God wants you to go to church. And then you need to be obedient and you need to show up and you need to go to church. You're probably going to feel tired. You're probably going to have something come up. Your kids will probably get sick. You'll probably hit traffic. Your car will mess up. You'll need gas. You'll
whatever. I'm telling you, the devil will attack you when you're going to church because he doesn't want you to go, but you need to just be set in your way 100%. Doesn't matter what happens. I am going to church. And by you showing up and you working on you and your relationship with Jesus, you will change. So one of the classes that we offer at our church, it's really popular. It happens at churches all over the country, and it's called Love and Respect. And it's Dr. Emerson Eggerich who has written the book, and it is the best book ever. It is so amazing. It is such a good study, and it teaches how we all get on this crazy cycle because we feel as women unloved. So because we feel unloved, we're disrespectful to our husbands. And then because they feel disrespected from us, they don't show us love. And then we don't feel love, so we show disrespect. And so they feel disrespect, so they don't show us love. And the crazy cycle spins. And every single crazy cycle that you get on with your spouse, this is the problem. I promise you, this is the problem. It's love and it's respect. And his program is so good. And so many couples come into this class that we offer, and they're like, I'm here because my husband this, or I'm here because my wife this, or, and the very first video, Dr. Emerson says, the problem is not your spouse. The problem is you. I don't care what, now abuse, totally separate from this. Abuse will always be separate from this. So I don't ever want you to think that, like abuse, addiction. And I am going to cover those things because this is very heavy on my heart. And these are real situations that we're going through. We have spouses that are addicted to painkillers and pills and, you know, all kinds of stuff, uppers and downers and alcohol and mentally sick and demon possessed. Like, I mean, I hear it all. And I know that it's like, okay, Taryn, wake up. There's a real world out there that's struggling. It's not just as easy as you think. And so I do want to cover those things. And I do want to talk about that. We're going to talk about addiction and mental illness and vows. I'm going to talk about that in the next episode. I just want to stick with like unequally yoked right now, because I don't want this to turn into an hour long episode. So when you find yourself in a situation where you're unequally yoked, your spouse is not a believer or isn't as strong as belief as you, here's what you're going to do. Okay. Number one, you're not going to nag. It's really hard. So you're going to need to pray and ask God to shut your mouth for you. You're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit, help me to not be negative towards my spouse. Because the thing that's going to change your spouse is your love for your spouse. But it's also the thing that's very hard to show when you're mad. So nobody is going to be taught a lesson by withholding love. That doesn't work. Okay, like you're mad at your kids, like, well, I'm not going to hang out with you and I'm not going to be around you and do stuff with you because I'm mad at you. That's not going to make people repent. That's just going to make people rebel. And God doesn't do that with us. When we're rebellious and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing and we're sinning, God isn't like, oh, well, not listening to your prayers because you smoked weed yesterday. You know, he is such a sovereign, forgiving God who is loving. And he's like, I get it. I know. I love you. I have something better for you. So this is something I'm working on with my kids. And I'm also working on it with my husband because I was really spiteful. When I was going to church over and over and over and over, and I would see these families show up and these husbands like praising God and leading their kids. And as my kids were getting older, you know, I wanted to raise my kids up in Christ. I wanted them to know scriptures. I wanted them to be praying at dinner, and I wanted them to see their father doing it, not just their mom. I knew what a big impact that makes. And just not even having a father is a huge impact on children. And I didn't want to be a statistic when I got pregnant young, and I wanted to stay with him. And we ended up getting married and we made it work, and we got married and we had Sophia, still not coming to church. And all I did was pray. And that's the second thing you need to do. So number one is don't nag and just shut your mouth and stop, you know, spewing hate and anger, and you might not even be able to say anything. And that's okay, because no words are better than harsh words. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to pray without ceasing. Now, all the scriptures that say like pray without ceasing and don't ever stop, That means to continuously pray over and over and over. And I have Billy Graham's Hope for This Day daily devotional. I highly recommend you can get it on Amazon. Billy Graham, Hope for This Day. And today I was reading in there and he spoke about this and said that a woman came to him and said, I have been praying without ceasing for my husband's salvation for 10 years. Every day, every Sunday, I go up to the altar call. I pray and pray and pray. And he is not saved. He has not dedicated his life to the Lord. He is still doing what he's supposed to be doing. So why is it not working? And Billy Graham said to her, you need to pray without ceasing. You need to continue to pray. And don't worry about it not working in your own time, but just know that it will work eventually. And that's the thing with prayer is that you have to believe it. The scriptures say, pray and believe and you will receive. You can't just know it. Like when I'm talking to people about identity and I'm like, you have to know your identity and you have to believe it. So if you're like, yeah, I know I'm chosen, anointed and set apart and I'm the daughter of the highest king. Are you acting like it? Because if you believed it, you would act like it. You can't just know of God. You have to believe in the God. So there's a difference. You have to believe it. You really do. So when you're praying, you have to know God is going to answer this prayer. God is going to do this. He is going to deliver my husband of this addiction or this mental illness. And I'm going to be here and I'm going to pray and pray and pray. And I'm going to be right with God and I'm going to be doing things because God, you know, God is going to change you and your husband will see that in you. And that's exactly what happens in that love and respect class that we get in there. And then everyone slowly has this realization of, oh my gosh, I'm the problem. It's the way that I'm reacting. It's the way that I'm perceiving, because although I feel unloved, if I am really respectful and I hold my tongue, it makes my husband then be loving and not be unloving. So we are actually way more in control than we feel like we are. A lot of times we're just triggered and we don't have the tools. And so, I finally got my husband to go to a marriage class. And that's really what started it. I'm like, I want a better marriage. I want us to really feel connected. I'm like, this class isn't super churchy. You know, it's in someone's house. Like we know the people, it'll be fun. So I got him to go. That was his first step. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that God would soften his heart, that God would help him to let down his pride, that God would help him to surrender doing it all on his own. I prayed that God would help him with his anger, that God would help him to have the eyes of Jesus and to have the ears of Jesus and to see life for what it really is. And I would pray that the scales would be removed from his eyes. And you know, when you first start praying, you're like, okay, I have no idea what to pray for, Taryn, because I'm not really good with words and stuff like that. So you can just type in like prayers. I'm literally doing it right now as I'm talking to you. So I typed in Google prayers for unsaved husband and boom, right here at the top, it says 10 powerful prayer. Oh my gosh, 10 powerful prayers for an unbelieving husband. And they're all right here. And it literally shows you what they are. Pray for a softened heart. Pray for him to experience God's love. Pray for wisdom and leadership. Pray for others to walk into his life. That's a big thing. I pray that strong, godly mentors are placed in my kids' lives and my husband's lives and just surround them with God. And this, I know that you could be thinking like, I don't know, like if my husband were to come to church, like it would be literally insane. I hear that a lot. And I see husbands turning and coming to church when you thought that the church would burn down if your husband set a foot in there. And I've seen it with my own eyes, people that show up with their husbands and this works. This works every single time. So you praying, privately praying and showing God how much you care by privately praying and then publicly praying for him too, asking other people in your circle at your Bible study or at church or responding to an altar call. Like, this is why you need the church. This is why you need community, because you need help in raising your kids. You need help in your husband converting. You need help with your attitude and your disrespectful tone. You know, we all need help with this stuff. And in the world, you're not getting help with that. And the church is not the building. The church is the group of people that are influencing you to do the right things. So you have to be around those people, especially in the beginning when you're weak and you're not really good at practicing these things and you still have a mouth like a trucker and you fly off the rail like the Hulk mom and start screaming at your kids and saying all kinds of things that you regret. Like, you need help because you're just learning how to do this. And that's not weak. That's strong that you're saying, I know that I need help with this. But if you have a husband that you're like, there's no way that my husband's ever going to go to church, I challenge you to set time in your day where you're praying. And I like writing down my prayers. I write them all in. I just have one journal. Some people have a prayer journal. Some people have like a closet or a room where they put all their prayers up on the wall. You can write them on a whiteboard. You can put them on post-its and put them around. However you want to do it, I write it in just my journal and I'll write down my prayers for the day. And I like doing this because then I can go back. Like, I just did this the other day where I went back in my journal last year and I looked at all of my prayers and I put little check marks next to all the ones that were answered. And there were so many that were answered. Like, I've been praying for the salvation of my father for so long, begging God, bring him to church, bring him to church. And now my dad goes to church and he is in the recovery program with me. And I'm like, praise God. Like, that is so amazing. When I wrote that down last year, I was like, there is no way that he's ever going to do this. And now he is. You know, you can see your prayers being answered. And then that builds more, like, more trust with God or just more confidence where you're like, yes, I can see him answering these. Even little things like my daughter was sick and I was just praying. I laid my hands on her and I prayed and I put my hand on her throat and I said, God, take away this sore throat, heal her, help her, be here. And then I wrote it down in my journal. And then the next day she was better. And I'm like, wow, look at that. I wrote that down. So I'm telling you, writing them down is huge for you. Praying, 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 praying. There's also a book called The Respect Dare. And it's for women to their husbands, and it does not take two. Okay. So if your husband is like, nope, I'm done with you. You guys have a terrible relationship. You don't communicate. You don't talk. You're not friends. You're just like roommates living together who hate each other. You might even be sleeping in separate beds. You're not even talking. And you feel like this, the respect dare is really good. He doesn't even have to know you're doing it. And you go through it. It's super quick and easy. It's like a day. So it'll say like day one, and then this is what you do. And day two, this is what you do. You'll start to learn your role as a wife. And I am telling you, I promise you, if you start doing these things, you watch your marriage start to change. You watch things start to grow. So that is really all I wanted to tell you on being unequally yoked. It's really not that hard. Focus on you. Focus on praying without ceasing and stop nagging and just try to show more love to your spouse. Continue to invite them every Sunday. And when they say no, just say, okay, love you. I'll see you later. And pray that God changes your heart and the way that you are. Because if he sees you, so a lot of us, a lot of new believers don't know what the fruit of the Spirit is. So it's a scripture that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So when you are in the Spirit, when you are showing up, you're spending time in prayer, you're spending time in God's word, you're reading the Bible, you're spending time with his people, you're spending time in his church, you're spending time in the community. The more you spend time with him, the more fruits you're going to see in your spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. These are things you're going to naturally start to experience more of when the fruits show up by you spending time with God. So the more you go to church and the more you pray and the more you meditate and the more you teach your kids, the more you are going to start to have more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more gentleness in your tone, in your voice, more self-control. You're going to have these things and your husband is going to see a change in you. Your kids are going to see a change in you. So the bigger change they can see in you and the transformation they can see in you, then the bigger change they're going to want to see in themselves. So I recorded a podcast. It's my number one most listened to podcast. It was in season one and it's called Raise the Tide. And the entire episode is all about you becoming the best version of yourself. It's episode 75, if you want to go back and listen to it, but you becoming the best version of yourself and elevating yourself with God, and everyone around you will naturally elevate. So if you want to raise all, if you need to lift up all the boats in the harbor, all you have to do is raise the tide and all the boats naturally go higher. That's what we're doing here. That's the concept. So you have so much power and so much influence. And even though your husband is the head of the household, you still can lead him. The majority of people, families end up coming to church because the mom decided she wanted to go to church. And I've seen this with my personal friends where I invite just the mom starts coming, she starts bringing her kids. We start praying for the husband and the husband shows up. Now, he might not show up and respond to an altar call and get on his knees and surrender everything and turn his life over to Christ immediately, but neither did you. And maybe you did, but that wasn't common and that's not the norm. But just getting him to walk through the door is such an amazing thing to do. And maybe you're going to a more traditional church that's more like organ music and it's just kind of boring and you don't understand what they're saying and it's hard to follow and they're reading out of a Bible that's like King James Version or something where you're like, I am not relating to this. I don't feel fed when I leave. I just don't feel like this is my place. Then I pray that you just keep asking God to reveal to you where you should go and pay attention to buildings and churches when you're driving past. And if you feel like, oh, God's telling me to go there, then look at the church and see. I love non-denominational churches. The church I go to is an Assemblies of God church. You can just go on Google and type in churches like that if you want to. Or you can always DM me on Instagram at Taryn Sarconi and I can help you and I can look at the websites you send me and I can help you because that is a little discouraging and intimidating for a few people, especially if you're like brand new getting into church or if you've been hurt before, because a lot of people have been wounded by the church and that's just a way that the devil has kept you away from it. Because remember, he doesn't want anyone in your family to achieve their purpose. He doesn't want anyone in your family to be plugged in, connected to God, living and just thriving in their life. He wants your marriage to be in crumbles. He wants you triggered and disrespectful. He wants you just flying off at the mouth and telling your husband and your kids all kinds of nasty things. He wants to break up this unit. He wants discord and disunity. That is what he wants. So he is going to try to do it with any temptation, lust, attitudes, alcohol, mental illness, addiction. And we're going to talk about vows on the next episode. So if you are interested in listening to that, you can head over to my podcast and you can listen to that episode. It's episode 11 on season 2, but I hope this helped. You are not alone. So many women are struggling with this. And I think that the devil just wants you to feel intimidated and alone and isolated. Don't. There's so much power in prayer. I'm 100% confident. If you prayed without ceasing privately and publicly, and you led your family with your own devotional life to Christ and working on raising the tide in your family, I promise there is like nothing about it that like, he will be changed. He will show up. You will have that thriving marriage. So just remember that you have so much power. You are chosen. You are anointed. You are set apart. You are righteous. You are the daughter of the highest king. You're created on purpose for a purpose. You have influence. You have power because of Christ. Thank you for waking up with me today and setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I pray that God leads you and guides you to your promised land and your fear and your worry and your doubt all wash away. If you are stuck in the valley and you are feeling hopeless and helpless,
please download my 5 Steps to Hope Valley Guide that will tell you step by step by step how to get out of the valley and to stay out of the valley. You can find that on the link on my Instagram, as well as tons of other free tools, prayers, printouts for your identity, and to get my favorite list of books, devotions for adults and for kids. Also learn my favorite accountability software that I use for my kids, and check out my favorite must-watch sermons if you're in the valley. Thank you. God bless.